I'm going to look in Genesis chapter 41 and begin reading with verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph has said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. I suppose a lot of people would read this story and what took place prior to that. Joseph, of course, being cast into prison because of Potiphar's wife's lie. And then there in prison, he comes into contact with the butler and the baker, and they have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams. And then eventually, Joseph is released from prison. Pharaoh has a dream, and no one can interpret the dream, and the butler finally remembers Joseph and said, I know a man who can interpret this dream. Well, some may read these things and see a story about dreams. Others may read this and see a story about corn. You and I are like Paul. When we read this story, we see Jesus, don't we? This book is about Jesus. If you fail to look for Jesus in all the stories of the Word of God, all the pages of the Word of God, then you have failed the purpose of reading the book in the first place. We find out some great things about Christ, I believe, in this story, in connection with Joseph. Now Joseph, of course, after he interprets the dream, he is considered to be a very wise man, a very honorable man, as far as Pharaoh is concerned. And he puts Joseph in charge of the family. He believes what Joseph says. Even though it may sound a little outlandish, he believes what Joseph says. And though maybe something like this has never happened before, he believes what Joseph said. And beloved, faith is like that, isn't it? We believe what Christ says. And though it may sound outlandish, and though it may seem a little out there, too far, we believe what he says. Faith enables us to do that. But we find in our story where Joseph is given charge of the storehouses. Joseph, by authority, opens the storehouse. He has authority to do this. Brother Christ, our Savior, has authority from heaven. All power is given unto me. Or all authority is given unto me. From heaven. Brother God from heaven has authority in all things. Though the world would deny that, and though the world would reject that, that's true. And the world, one of these days, is going to find out when they stand before the King who really had authority and whose words really matter. Only the words of Christ. Well, the King, we find in verse 55, could only be approached if they went through Joseph. Joseph was the only way that Pharaoh was approachable. And he gave that authority to Joseph. And I believe we see a very clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ there. Many will talk about going to God, and many will talk about praying unto God. Beloved, there is no approaching God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no authority in heaven or earth that allows them to approach God. So many today will try in vain to do that. So many today will have a hope in their hearts that they might speak to God. Oh, beloved, it's only through Christ that God the Father is approachable. Dougie mentioned a moment ago, John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is in or unapproachable as far as man is concerned. Right. You don't just walk up to God and speak to God. You don't have a hearing before God. Doesn't man think that's true? You know, you can't even do that among kings here in this world. You've got to have some kind of pull. You've got to have some kind of authority. You've got to have somebody speak for you to be able to do such a thing. So it is with God in heaven. He is unapproachable as far as the sinner is concerned. A lot of preachers this morning will be telling unsaved people, you need to come to God. I'll tell you this morning, you need to come to Christ. Amen. For you'll never come to God apart from Christ. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We find Jesus said. The King commanded that Joseph be obeyed. Well, Joseph was, or the Pharaoh rather, was an arrogant man. He was a conceited man. He was a prideful man. But in this time of disaster, he gives the command that whatever he says, do it. You know, sinners today will be listening to this one. They'll be listening to that one. They'll be listening to preachers who are telling them things that they ought to do and things they should do. Well, I tell you, by the authority of God this morning, do what He says. Do what Christ says. And that is, come unto Him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. The Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear the voice of God. Hear the Word of God this morning. Reject all the commandments of men, the ideas of men, the whimsical thoughts of men. Hear Christ. He says, come unto me. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your souls. In all the land, Joseph was the only one that could do this. There was not a committee of men. There were not a great number of men. There were not even two men, but only one. In all the land. And if one was to live, they would live by doing what Joseph said to do. And that's it. That's simple, isn't it? That simplifies things. In a religious world full of confusion, the Word of God simplifies things. Hear ye Him. Believe Him. Do what He says. And the preacher reads from the Word of God and tells you from the Word of God what Jesus says. You need to listen. For to reject that is to reject life itself. To reject what Jesus says is to reject life and choose death. I believe people make decisions all the time. But they make decisions. They choose death over life. They never choose Christ in and of themselves, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, but they always choose death. I believe this story is a great type of the fact that by not listening to the one who has authority is going to result in death. And you know, it didn't matter who it was in Egypt that would reject what Joseph had to say. It didn't matter who they were, whether they were rich or whether they were poor, whether they were important or not. It didn't matter. It was a very simple thing that if they didn't listen to Joseph, they died. Joseph was the only fit person to open the storehouses. After all, he was the one that designed the storehouses. He was the one who told Pharaoh what was needed as far as life was concerned. And beloved friends, God Himself is the only fit one who knows how and when and why and all the other adverbs that describe salvation. God Himself is the designer. For we read in Hebrews chapter 12 that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You're going to have some man out here or some woman tell you how God ought to save and what God should have done? Well, that's absurd, isn't it? You know, I know nothing of these matters, only that which has been revealed to us. We know nothing of how to save, and we know nothing of the fullness of salvation. We can't understand all of these things. The God who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who is the beginning and the end, God who chose us from the foundation of the world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was the author of it. It's His book. We have a lot of authors today who write books about His book. And the biggest part of them are fit only for kindling. He is the author. If you follow after one author, let it be Him. If you have only one book, let it be this book. The book concerning Christ. We find in our story that this was not just a small area that was involved, but notice the scale of our story. All countries were going to die. All countries and all lands were in need of life. It wasn't just didn't just revolve around this one small location. Neither does the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read over in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Notice. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne under the Lamb." Get to cry that one day. We'll be in that great number one day and cry out those praises unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. A great number that no man can number. So I'm not even going to try that. I get confused after a billion as far as numbers are concerned. I've heard numbers like gazillion and things like that, but I don't know if those are real numbers or not. All I know is the Bible says a number that no man can number. Saved. Because Christ, the fit one, the author and finisher of our faith, saved our souls. What a grand scale that was. Even more than it was in Egypt and the surrounding countries. I believe that Joseph had wisdom to do the job that he was sent to do. Joseph was a wise man, wasn't he? He understood what was necessary and what was needful. And what was proper, he understood all of that. Just as Christ. The same Christ we read of in Romans chapter 8. Who knew our state. And who knew our weaknesses. And who knew our inabilities. Christ Himself distributed unto us all that was needful and all that was necessary and all that would provide for our souls. Well, these people that came to Joseph, they heard that you went to him and you were going to be fed. And he was going to give you what you needed. And I trust that when you came here this morning that you had that very thought on your mind. I'm going to the house of God where Christ is, and He's going to feed me. He has ample supply to feed me. Sometimes too much emphasis is put on the speaker. And maybe not sometimes, maybe a whole lot of times is put on the speaker. Beloved, when the Word of God is opened, and especially so in the house of God and a man of God, whether he's one of your favorite preachers or not, and when the man of God opens the Word of life, then Christ uses that and speaks to you. And feed your very soul, your hungry soul. Brother, these people are hungry, man. Oh, that God's people today would feel hungry on Sunday morning. Now, I was hungry when we went to Tubes. I got that classic breakfast, and boy, that tasted good. That filled me up. But I was more hungry to come here. If I'd had my choice, go to Tudor's or come here, I'd have come here. And you ought to feel like that, and every child of God ought to feel like that as far as the preaching of the Word of God is concerned, that they might come and be fed. People lying in bed and running off all over the countryside half of the year at a time. No wonder they starved to death. Then we'll turn around and maybe blame that on the preacher. I know years ago there was a supper time and there was a lunch time and there was a breakfast time. And if you wanted something to eat, you was there for breakfast or lunch or supper, whatever. Well, you didn't show up, you didn't eat. Well, we have times that we meet and times to be fed. Let's put great importance on that. Joseph actually opened the storehouses. He kept them open the whole time that the famine lasted. As long as there is a need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, it will be here.
Amen.
I don't know how many of us will be here, and I know that we're waxing cold in the faith, it seems like amongst us. But I know this. As long as there is ever a hungry soul that will come to Christ, there'll be something to feed them.
Amen.
We've always got something to feed in our churches. Sinners come to the house of God looking for different things. And they go to the synagogues of Satan looking for different things. But there's always food for the soul. They may not be interested in. There's always food there that gives life. Life-giving food. Sinner oftentimes is looking for other things and not interested in those kinds of things. Beloved, there's never been a time that the hungry sinner has ever found the storehouses closed. And what I mean by that is when God makes one hungry and God makes one thirsty, they can't be satisfied until they come and are fed and made to drink. We see that so vividly in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. And no price. Joseph didn't charge them. They were hungry and he fed them. Now the world's churches are all concerned about money. Had some Pentecostal woman call out the farm the other day. They wanted the farm to donate apples because they wanted to build a new building or something. I don't know what it was. Money! Why? They didn't know if I knew the Lord or not, but they sure gonna take my money. That's a terrible shame that people who say they're the children of God, that they're going to take the money off of sinners to build their buildings and help their programs and so forth. When the Bible says there is no price. Somebody told me one time I ought to write a book. Said, you make money off that. I said, make money? I don't want to make money off sinners, and I don't want to make money off of God's people. This is a free book. You know, price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So the doors were opened, all that came could eat, and they were satisfied. Joseph wasn't getting rich, was he? I'm getting rich off of this. And I don't believe those who are called of the Lord and preach the gospel, they're not going to get rich either. Preaching the gospel, they might get rich doing something else, but not preaching the gospel. I'll close with this over in the next chapter, in chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jacob saw there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. My sinner friend, if there be one here this morning, I ask you that question. Why look for another? Why look for another God? Why look for another message? Why look for another church? Why look for another? Why look for anything? Joseph knew that, or Jacob knew that wouldn't help. And I don't know what his sons were saying. He said, well, what are you doing discussing this matter? Why are you even wasting time talking about this? And I would say that to any sinner. Why are you wasting time in this life? When all that you have, as far as an expectation is concerned, is death. Why will you sit here and die when there's life? Jacob said, we got to go. I remember when the Lord saved me. I kind of had that attitude. I was sitting there and I was dying, and I was hearing the message of God and I didn't care. Then all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit came, I thought to myself, why? And I didn't know anything about grace. I didn't know anything about anything. Didn't know Bible characters. I didn't know anything. And I walked up front and told the people at King's Edition that the Lord saved me. And you know what I said? I told Brother Hobbs, I said, I don't know why I waited so long. And I did. But I knew I was happy. And I knew that Christ was my Savior. I saved and I had life. I wonder if people in Egypt, when they left, they said, boy, oh that's true. He gave us that corn, and now we're going to live, and we'll go home, and we'll tell all of our family, go to Egypt and get corn and live. I say go to Christ and live.